Welcome to Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. I hope you are enjoying this series, Getting to Know Jesus. We are diving into the book of Luke, and we are discovering different aspects of Jesus and learning from him and growing from him and learning what he has taught us so that we can be citizens of heaven and stewards here on earth. So if you are enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. Also, finally, if you're a financial partner of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We greatly appreciate it. To see and to know that so many of you support this ministry and allow us to go out each and every day and tell people about Jesus is a fabulous blessing. All right, let's dive into Luke chapter 7 today. It says this: when he, Jesus, had completed all his discourse in the hearing of the people, he went to Capernaum. And a centurion slave who was highly regarded by him was sick and about to die. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders asking him, "Come and save the life of his slave." And when they came to Jesus, they earnestly implored him, saying, "He is worthy for you to grant this to him, for he loves our nation, and it was he who built our synagogue." Now Jesus started on his way with them, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent his friend, saying, "Lord, do not trouble yourselves." I love this. "Do not trouble yourselves further, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof." Okay, we're going to finish the story, but as we dive into this today, I want you to think about the heart of the centurion, right? A leader, a Roman leader, you might say. And he understood that he was not worthy for Jesus to enter into his house. And I think sometimes as people, we have become a little bit prideful, thinking, "Oh, Jesus owes us something," or "Jesus has to do something," you know, this kind of thing. We need the humility of this centurion that he has. It will change us from the inside. To understand the wickedness of our heart. So it says this: "For this reason, I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but just say the word and my servant will be healed." Look at his faith. "For I am also a man placed under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled at him and turned and said to the crowd that was following him, "I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such great faith." So here's this man. He goes, "I know I'm not worthy. I know who you are, that you are holy. And if you just speak the words, it'll be done." That's the attitude that we need in the public square right now, isn't it? We're not owed anything. We're not special in any way. Even if we're in a place of high esteem among those around us, to truly understand that level of humility that this centurion had, that Jesus could speak a word and it could heal his slave. Now, I also like to point out that he had compassion for his slave. He cared about, if we were to liken to something like that today, would be his employee. He marveled at his great faith. "And when those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. Soon afterwards, he went to a city." So I love that. So Jesus is like, it's done. It's finished. You know, I oftentimes think of the state of Washington, and I think about how far we have fallen from Jesus, how far we've gotten away from righteousness, how far we have found ourselves in the public square just ignoring God, even beyond ignoring God, kind of giving God the finger, you might say. And we need a heart transformation in this state like never before to humbly come back to our living God and say, God, you're right. We're wrong. You created us. You love us. You care for us. Thank you so very much. And I just think that it would change a whole lot of things if we simply humbled ourselves before the living God. He would heal us. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large crowd. Now, as he approached the gate of the city, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." All right, so a dead man is being carried out of the city. There's a large crowd. A widow is there. Now, this widow, her husband had died, and now her son had died. And we see that her heart's probably broken, right? Because she knows, like, all provision, all things that her son would have done is now no longer able to do. And so when Jesus saw her, and the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said, "Do not weep." And Jesus came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Wow. And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped them all, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." The report concerning him went out all over Judea and all the surrounding district. So here we have Jesus, two stories of healing. One was a slave that was sick, and Jesus heals the slave for the centurion. Mind you, that centurion would have strongly opposed, in the one sense, opposed Jesus just because Rome. And then we have a woman who happens to be a widow. Her son dies, a young man. And Jesus raises that young man from the dead. So when we look at these two stories, we need to ask ourselves, if we're getting to know Jesus, what do we learn about him? Well, he cares about the lowest of the lowest, the slave. He cares about the widow. He cares about the son. He does the impossible. He loves faith. What greater faith? That's something that we learn. We also see that in this, the fear gripped them all and they began glorifying God. We see that when God does the miraculous, oftentimes fear can step in, not a fear like I'm afraid of God, but a reverence for God can step in and we can begin to, be in awe of God. You know, in Washington State right now, the number one thing we need is a changed heart. A heart that says, "I'm going to run to Jesus in my problem." A heart that says, "I'm going to bring it forth, bring it forward to him and allow him to minister to it." We have so many issues right now in Washington. You know, we're on the verge of the AI, threshold and seeing what God does with that and how man responds through their free will. We're on the verge of new technology all around us. We're on the verge of robotic technology. We're on the verge of economic crisis in Washington because we've overspent. I mean, there's just so many pressures on Washington State right now and the citizens of Washington. I don't know if you've been to Costco lately, but we went there, I think it was Friday. And man, the prices of goods. Just one package of steaks that used to cost you $20 now is $120 or $110. Yes, there was some cheaper, $50, $60, but I look at that and I say, what is going on? We need to bring those issues to Jesus. He cares about them so, so deeply. And he's he's the only one that can raise people from the dead. So people who have a dead heart, who are far from God, Jesus is the one that can raise them from the dead. He can transform a person from the inside out. He's the God of the miraculous. And so to think about that for Washington State is incredibly important, because we need to take those steps to glorify God. Let's pray, and then we'll be done for today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, we do lift up our state to you. Lord, we know unless you step in and help us with these different things, whether it be finances, whether it be law enforcement, whatever it might be, God, would you just help us to glorify you, to honor you, to be people who turn to you in awe and respect and want to walk with you. God, we need a miracle across Washington State. We need to see and know that you still raise the dead, that you are this God that still heals the sick. God, we, in a spiritual sense, our hearts are very sick, and so we need healing, God. And Lord, we ask that you would touch Governor Bob Ferguson, President Trump, Maria Cantwell, Patty Murray, God, Michael Baumgartner, Suzanne Schmidt, Rob Chase, Leonard Christian. God, we just pray for our elected officials and the heart transformation that you can do, whether that if they need salvation, God, would you provide salvation to them? If they need a resurrected heart, newness to be born again, would you just do that, God? If they need wisdom, insight, direction, God, we're just asking for your direction for them. We thank you for your goodness and your grace upon us. Go with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.